This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money in refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
LinkedIn is pretty great at a lot of things, like helping you tap into the latest trends and insights in your field. We cannot stop your coworker from tapping her pencil. LinkedIn can help you find new jobs that align with your career goals. We cannot help you find the source of that weird smell in the office fridge. Ew. And while we can't stop your coworkers from bringing their hobbies into the office, LinkedIn can help you bring your career to the next level. LinkedIn is the network that works for you.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Jacob. Thank you for joining me. This is Hunt Detail, and hope your hunting season so far is going great. Hope you're filling tags. Hope you're getting after it. And if you're not filling tags, I hope things are starting to come together as you work different theories and examined, get trail camera updates, all the stuff, the scouting, everything that makes it so much fun. The season does go quick. I mean, we're in the middle of October, and before we blink, it'll be late November and things will switch drastically once we get, I would say, after Thanksgiving. And so I want to encourage you to get out as much as you can if you haven't been able to. Now, for me, I'm in a new phase of life. My kids are getting more and more independent. One's in college and one is in high school, and he's ready to be in college. And so I'm needed less, which is interesting because I used to do a lot of things that we all do when our kids are young as dads. We're coaching sports. We're, involved in a million different things, and things have really shifted down for me in that area. So I've gone almost every evening over the past week, probably 5 out of 7 evenings. And, there's been a little bit of activity. I've seen some movement. I've had encounters with some small bucks and encounters with does. I'm dying to shoot a doe, but they just seem to be a little bit out of range. So that's a bit frustrating, but it is what it is. I think the most frustrating part has been these calm winds that are constantly shifting north, south, east, and west. It's just very frustrating. I look forward to a more brisk, stiff wind that's more, that stays in one direction or somewhat in one direction, so that my setup can be a solid setup. But It's been a bit of a shift personally. It's a little bit of the end of an era. This weekend is actually youth gun weekend, and my daughter, who's out of the house, she doesn't hunt. She wants to hunt with me. She likes to be with me in the tree, and we have a lot of fun, and I feed her snacks, and it's, a nice time, of course, to be in the fall woods when the leaves are, changing color and falling, and the sound of the rustling of the leaves and everything. It's just a really wonderful time of year. And so she still enjoys that. Last year with my son, he got his first deer. It was a small 8-pointer, shot it with over on youth weekend, so a year ago. And I was trying to work with him on his schedule. I'm like, hey, do you want to go this Saturday or Sunday? What works best? And he actually said, well, how long will we be? And so I realized at that point, I was like, neither of my kids have sort of loved it the way that I love it. And that's okay. And I've tried to do the things that we do as fathers to make it enjoyable. It's not a complete grind. It's lots, like I said, snacks or video games on my phone or having, some fun with it, trying to give him a little bit more independence in the field. But it's just not his thing. And I'm okay with that. And I have to be. And so we had a conversation about how he felt about going this year. And unfortunately, I said, hey, this is a sort of a thing. If you're taking the life of an animal, it's very significant. It's not something to be sort of taken lightly. It's not like something we just sort of have to do. It's something we get to do. And it's something that we, it's a very serious thing. It's not, when I take a deer, a doe or a buck or whatever, I say a prayer of thanks, and I'm, there is a loss there, and I appreciate that loss. And obviously we're going to consume that animal. It's going to be shared and that sort of thing. And so I didn't want to take him out and have him not engaged in it appropriately. And so I sort of compared it to some other things that in life where if I'm present, I'm there for the right reasons, not just because I have to. And so he's not going, and that's kind of a bummer, but it's part of, the good news is that both of my kids are, highly engaged in positive things. They're highly intelligent. They score, I'm sure that they have a higher IQ score than me, a higher ACT, SAT, all of those things, which is great. That's what I want. And so there's nothing, it's not a situation, thankfully, where he's just a punk, it's just a situation where he has these other things these other positive things that are in his life that he would prefer to focus on. And so will he return to it? I don't know. And I know that I left it for a period of time, and I think it was late high school. And then I came back to it in my mid to late 30s. So we'll see. We'll see. But sort of the end of an era. Now, one of the things that I do want to mention is that if you, I polled some folks on the Hunt Detail YouTube channel, if they were aware of Proposition 127 in Colorado. And I think this ties in nicely to what I just talked about, how hunting and taking the life is sacred. But there are folks that don't see it that way. They see us with a gripping grin and they view it as having fun, which it is fun, of course. But they don't want us to have fun. They don't like it. They don't like the idea of us enjoying hunting. Something that, quite honestly, our ancestors did to survive. They don't like it. And they don't see the conservation side of it, or they don't want to see it, and they don't want to understand it. and they want to take it away. And that's what Proposition 127 in Colorado is. Is it's a ban against mountain lion hunting. And the reason why I bring this up is that the folks that are driving the bus on this in Colorado picked Colorado for a reason. They've done it in California, and they're going to go after other, they're very clear about this, other species in other states. And so, you know, you may be in Michigan and you may hunt deer in Michigan. Well, it'll eventually get there. I mean, it might not be exactly, you know, deer first. It'll be something else that they take away. Some other trapping, some other sport hunting, squirrel hunting, coyotes, you know, whatever it is. They're going to, they're in the, and they have no other ulterior motive than to take away and chip away hunting at death by a million paper cuts. And so the reason why I bring this up is the vote is coming up. I guess it's November 5th when we're all voting for a lot of things. And of course, the presidential election. But if you ever plan on hunting Colorado, if you know someone that lives in Colorado, maybe you have hunted Colorado, maybe you have friends that hunt in Colorado, I just want to encourage you, and maybe you live in Colorado, encourage you to reach out to them, text them a link to Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management. Go to that website. You'll find all sorts of information on it. Find them on Instagram. But tell them about Proposition 127. Tell them, hey, there are some folks that really want to go after hunting, and they want to ban it on mountain lions. Who cares if they hunt mountain lions or not? They're going after it so that they can use it to chip away at other species. And I just want to encourage you to reach out to them, have a conversation with them. Maybe they don't even hunt, but maybe they're indifferent to it. But the introduction of wolves, I think lost, this was, you know, several years ago, that was like 49 point something to 49 point something. I think it was like less than a percentage point difference between the yes and the no. And so that's why this is so important. And I just really want to put it on your radar because, as I mentioned, it is sacred and we care about this and it's a part of our life, livelihood and our lifestyle. And so, again, think about your folks, that anybody that you know in Colorado, especially if they don't hunt, maybe they're, like I said, indifferent to it, and let them know about this and just say, hey, this is not science-based. It's political. It's politicized wildlife management, where there are biologists that are employed by the states, all states have them, that do science-based management. This isn't science. This is at the polls. This is political. And so I'll quit talking about it, but I just wanted to put it on your radar as we this quickly approaches. And I'm holding myself accountable. I made a new friend out in Colorado when I was out there this year, elk hunting. And I'm going to reach out to them. And it's going to be sort of an odd interaction because I'm just some guy that they met once, but I'm going to do it. And I would just encourage you to do the same. It's that important. So I wanted to I wanted to talk a little bit about today about, I did a recent thing on the Hunt Detail YouTube channel where I looked at large and extra large saddle platforms. And if you're not subscribed to the Hunt Detail YouTube channel, I would encourage you to do so. There's a lot of content there. I try to bring value and insight into gear and woodsmanship there. And I'm going to walk through that those rankings. I'm going to talk about the large platforms this week, and next week it'll be about the extra large platforms. And of course, I'll continue to provide updates on my season, my successes, my failures, my challenges. But I thought I'd go through some of this. Now, you know, the large is the 132-inch to 153-inch platform size. That's the length and the width. Now, obviously, as I mentioned last week, it's not an exact science. A lot of times, and I will say, I get questions like, well, you haven't, you know, you don't have these, you haven't touched them, so how can you review them? And the reason why I take this approach on the channel and here on the podcast is because this is how we're making purchase decisions today. If you're looking for a saddle or a saddle platform or some other piece of gear, you need a comparator. And you want to look at the entire product class before you sort of make a purchase decision. Like, even if I look at two or three platforms, I still don't have a bearing of what is value and what is maybe junk, and or what is good and what is bad. And, you know, to be clear, all these platforms can work. They're all seem to be great. But we got to start somewhere. And so when you watch a video on YouTube on a particular platform, let's just say it's one of the tethered platforms. Well, that's just one video, and you don't understand how that fits into the whole landscape of the category. It's almost like car shopping. If I'm going to look at trucks, I want to look at all the trucks and understand which of these trucks rise to the top and which truck is, you know, sort of like the, you know, the last option. I don't want to just buy the first truck, or whether maybe it's a TV or anything else. So we really focus on specs. It's not tested, but I'm trying to break down the category. And then if you find something within it that you like, you're like, oh, well, these three sort of jump out to me. Then you can really dig into content from, you know, around, you know, this particular tethered platform and this XOP and this cruiser platform or whatever. So these are all pure hang-ons. I think they all work. I'm just sort of splitting hairs here. And I'm mentioning the MSRP prices, the suggested retail price. So it's prices change. And so just keep that in mind as I mention them. But, you know, I coming in for me at number 11 was the XOP Edge. Now, it is a larger platform. I think it was 151 inches in size. So it was one of the larger platforms. But it's $119, but it was 84 ounces. And if you look at the size of the platform, obviously it's going to be a little on the heavier side, but at 84 ounces, I believe it was the heaviest in the category. And because of that, the trade-off of size versus weight wasn't there, even though it's a fantastic price. I mean, it's, you know, $119, really good price point. Coming in at number 10 was the Out on a Limb Ridge Runner. And this was $233.99. It's 68 ounces and it's 132 inches. And when you look at sort of the inches per ounce or ounce per square inch, It was not a good ratio. And I did create a spreadsheet. It's on the Hunt Detail Instagram page. If you go there, you can click on the link at the profile and find the cheat sheet. You'll find all these numbers there. You can manipulate the spreadsheet any way you want. Add columns, take away columns, rerun the numbers, you know, double check my work. But it's all there for free. And there's a bunch of other cheat sheets for other product categories as well. But the Out on the Limb Ridge Runner, I just felt like it was just too heavy at 132 inches. That's a smaller end of the platform size. Nothing against Out on a Limb or any of these companies, not trying to hurt feelings, but just I'm just looking at things that would be work for me, and that just wasn't going to work. So the Wild Edge Battle Axe comes in at number 9, $285. So that's really on the high end within this category at 285, and it's 54 ounces. I mean, that's, yeah, I can't remember the dimensions on that, but it was way too high. I mean, when we get to number one, number one's just a few dollars more, and there's a reason why it's number one. Number 8 is the Hawk Helium. A lot of people poo-poo Hawk products, but I think I have a couple of these Heliums, I'll be honest with you. I use them as presets, and I love them. I think they're great. They're not flashy. They're not as fancy, but they're 54 ounces. You can get them for actually $65. I mean, I'm quoting 99 as the suggested retail off the website, but you can get them for $65-$70 off Amazon. I think it's 130 square inches. I could be a little off on that. It's not 130. I know it's more than that, but ultimately that's a really strong value. And if it's not, I mean, it wouldn't be my permanent, but it is a really solid option. It's smooth. It doesn't have a grip like these other platforms do. A lot of them have a traction grip. So that's a little bit of a problem. So you have to get some of that grit tape. You can find it almost anywhere, and you can create your own grit on some traction on the platform itself. It's not difficult to do. Coming in at number 7 would be the Lone Wolf, the Fix. It's $249. Again, it's at the higher end. It's 57 ounces, so it's pretty heavy. And again, as we get to the top, you're going to see ounces drop. You're going to see square inches comparable. And you're going to see a price that is comparable to this. But you're getting more value at when you get to the top end, the 1, 2, and 3 and 4. So it's 150 square inches, but it's just overpriced. So it's a little bit on the higher end of the platform size at 150, but it's $249 and it's 57 ounces. So it's a little on the heavy side. Tethered Predator, the regular. This is one that probably came out, 4 or 5 years ago. It's now down to $151.99. It's 55 ounces. It's got a great cost per ounce. The surface area per dollar is also really strong. And I think it's 144 square inches. If you compare that to even like the Lone Wolf, the Fix that we just talked about, that's comparable in weight, a little bit smaller in platform size by just 6 square inches, but it's $100 less expensive. And so that's where you see sort of that differentiation between those two products. Now let's get into number 5. That is the Tethered Predator V. So this is 3 ounces lighter. The platform size is a little smaller. What they did was they coated this. It's a coated black. It has an angled toe area. And I believe it has a MOLLE clip or a hook on the back side of it. So it's a little bit of a different... like I said, it's powder coated. I think that helps with the grip, but it also helps with it cuts down the glare with the Predator. The regular Tethered Predator has sort of this aluminum glare, but the Tethered Predator V is $189. So it's about $30 more than the regular Predator. And it has some, features, I suppose, that make it a little bit different in terms of ounces and design. Now, coming in at number 4, and quite honestly, this could be number 3, and I really think it should be, but I'll keep it as I outlined it in the video. The Cruiser Mini Seeker. It's 153 square inches, so it's the largest platform in this group. 153 square inches. It's only 48 ounces, and it's $189. So it's got... let's compare it to like the Lone Wolf Fix, because it's the Fix is 150 square inches. The Cruiser is 153. The Fix is 57 ounces. The Cruiser is 48. So we got a larger platform, less ounces. And the Fix from Lone Wolf is 249 versus the Cruiser is 189. And so you can see that is a really strong value there. And so I highly recommend that platform. I can't remember if it has a step on the post or not, but the Cruiser Mini Seeker, boy, excellent value there. Like I said, lightweight, great platform size. Now, what I have at number three is the XOP Invader. So it's 38 ounces, so it's a little bit lighter. It's $179, a little bit less expensive. But the platform size is 132 inches. And so it's a little bit, it's, you know, sort of on, it is on the smaller end of platform size within this category. Now, I want to be fair, like 132 square inches versus 150. I mean, you're going to notice a difference, but it's not, I don't think it's drastic. But I'm just trying to compare apples to apples here in terms of the platforms. And so the XOP Invader, I think, is a great value. I believe it does have the step on the post. And so it came in at number three. It could be technically tied with the Cruiser Mini Seeker. I will tell you that Cruiser Mini Seeker has the larger platform in this category. And the top three all have, I think, yeah, they're all a smaller platform. So coming in at number two is the Tethered Predator Carbon, the CFX Regular. Now, this is $299, so it's $300. It's 35 ounces, so it's incredibly lightweight. It's 132 square inches, so it's on that smaller end. It doesn't have a step, a traditional, like sort of that step on the platform like you get with, you know, some of the other products in the category. But I love the idea of getting this carbon platform. We all know carbon is warm to touch. It, on a cold December day, it's awesome. When compared to aluminum, it doesn't have the sounds that, doesn't have that metal clank that aluminum has. And so I would love to get this. But, you know, I personally have a platform that I'm pretty happy with. But if I did, I would either get this one or the number one. And so that brings us to number one, which is the Trophy Line Hyperlite. You all heard a lot about it this year. I really didn't expect it to be number one, but it's also $299. It's 2 ounces lighter than the carbon, so it's 33 ounces. It's 144 square inches, so it's larger than the Tethered CFX, and it's 2 ounces lighter, and so for that reason. Now it's made of magnite. Magnite is apparently, and this, I got a chance to touch it at the ATA show, and I would encourage you to go check out the ATA videos that are on the Hunt Detail YouTube channel. There's a series of three, and I'm looking at, you know, I'm interacting with a bunch of different companies, and Trophy Line was one of them. And, you know, I got to hold the platform. I did bang it against metal, and it was very much, it was more muted. So it does, it's stiffer than aluminum. It has less vibration than aluminum, and it's, stronger than aluminum. So it does have a lot of properties that make it unique in terms of material. I didn't expect it to be number one, honestly. When it came out, I was like, you know, whatever. But at $299, it seems like it's priced appropriately. It's obviously still expensive, but it's appropriately priced within the category. It's the lightest of any of these. It has a very strong square inch platform size. And so for that reason, it came in at number one. And it also, again, the properties of the materials make it unique. In a similar way that the carbon platforms do. So these are just my opinions on these in this category. You may say, hey, Jacob, you're more on the, you know, what you had for number 9, 10, or 11. It's an awesome platform and it works better for me than anything else. And that's great. I'm not offended. These are just ideas and thoughts, and I'm just looking at the category as if I were shopping to upgrade. So thank you for your time. Best of luck this season. Well, next week we'll get into the XL platforms. I believe there's maybe 9 of those that we look at. And then there are some double XL platforms. I'm not sure we'll get to those, but there's some double XL platforms that are in the market. There's 3 of them. But ultimately, please like, share, subscribe. And again, don't forget to talk to someone in Colorado about voting no on Prop 127. Best of luck. Talk to you all next week.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.